We have prepared some notes that we'll probably not use all in the space we'll be speaking in, but I believe I want you to have the scriptures. I want you to have the scriptures in the way that I've set them together.
Amen.
I believe to bring out, or be a little more simpler to follow, or get the thought, maybe, than if you were just reading alone at random. So let me first give you some scriptures. Give it slow enough so you can write them down. Then we'll go as far as we feel led in this service. I mean, the scripture to use. But if we only got the scriptures to you, I think it would help a lot in what I have in mind. The first scripture would be the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There wouldn't be much need of saying what verses, because we may touch several points in the whole chapter. 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Just write that chapter down, beginning in. And the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there'd possibly be some points in there. Second chapter of Acts. But first 8 verses would cover what we would be dealing with. Yes. And Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 5. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. You probably begin your reading about 38 downwards. And if you want to make note of what you'll be reading about, it'll be speaking of folks that received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues at that time. Acts, the 19th chapter, first 7 verses. Acts, the 16th chapter. If you want to make a note of what I have in mind, it'll be dealing with a false spirit. Acts, the 8th chapter. You'd also be dealing with a false spirit. Isaiah, the 19th chapter. Pardon me now. 8th chapter of Isaiah. Correct that. Verse 19 to 20. Acts 8. Pardon me. Isaiah 8. Now you got me straight. Let us get it clear. I made a correction there and we have crossed up. Isaiah, the 8th chapter. I had already given Acts 8 before. Now, Isaiah, the 8th chapter. 19 to the 20th verse. Yes, sir. I just give you a chapter there. All right. Exodus, the 22nd chapter, verse 18. Dealing with witchcraft and wizards. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verse 11. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verse 31. Leviticus, the 20th chapter, verse 27. Now, whether I use the scriptures or not, I hope you'll read them after you hear me talk about it. I hope you will read them afterwards. 1 Samuel, the 28th chapter, verses 78. Isaiah, again, 29th chapter, verse 4. Jeremiah, 20th chapter, verse 10. And we may get far enough along to mention a few things in the 7th chapter of Exodus. You just said 7th, 8th, and 9th chapter of Exodus, because I would not be confining certain points that you just mentioned a few things in that chapter. But if you have the chapter, if I say something that sounds a little strange to anyone, they'd be able to go there and look and see what it's talking about. Now, I think that'll do for now, at least. I gave out the scripture that I think would at least be less familiar, so that you'd have it. Now, I appreciate it if you get the Bibles ready, just in case I need a little reading. Some of this I will not read it, in as much as I know you have it before you. Now, the scripture that I'm going to start reading with is the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And we're starting with verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesieth edifies the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Except the interpret, the church may receive edifying. Now, brother, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine, or even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp. Except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. Did you get that clear? Easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto you that speaketh a barbarian. He that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. In this text where it said, my understanding is unfruitful, it means my understanding is not yielding fruit to others. It's not conveying to them understanding. In that sense, it's unfruitful. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but others not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words than understand it, that by my voice I might teach others, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. We read 20 verses. Now, we're going back to the beginning of this reading. I want you to notice with me a little here now. Follow after charity. That means love.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
And desire spiritual gifts.
Yep.
Gifts.
Amen.
But rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him.
Yes.
Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. The meaning of that verse, he may be speaking in the spirit, or speaking with anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He may speaking things as deep, but still no man understand him, if he speak in an unknown tongue.
Yes.
But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. Amen.
Amen.
I would that you all spake with tongue, but rather that you prophesy.
Amen.
Now, bear in mind there's something here that I believe the Lord has assigned me to do a little explaining.
Amen.
That needs to be explained and should be explained for the benefit of all that would love to become established in the Lord after you're saved.
Amen.
Established after you're saved.
Yes, Lord.
Now the word unknown tongue, as appears in this text, was a supplied word, and the meaning of that word is foreign language.
Yes.
In the original, it says foreign language.
Yes.
It means a language that's unknown to your hearers.
Yes.
That's all it means. Unknown tongue.
Yes.
Means a foreign language. He that speaketh in a foreign language speaketh not unto men but unto God.
Yes.
The word speaketh means the language which you normally speaks.
Yes.
That's talking about your own language.
Yes.
He that speaketh in a language he speaks is foreign.
Yes.
When he's speaking, his word is only going to God because others don't hear. I do not understand.
Yes.
Now, many people have thought the word unknown had some meaning beyond what it means.
Yes.
Some think it means a language which nobody on the globe knows.
No, Lord.
Only God or angels know it.
Yes.
But this is not what it's talking about. It's speaking about a language that's foreign to the audience.
That's right.
He that speaketh in the unknown tongue, let's quote it this way. He that speaketh in a foreign language, his speech goes on to God and not to men, because they don't understand it.
That's right.
Now that's exactly what he's speaking about.
Amen.
All right. The word unknown tongue means a foreign language.
Yes.
And says that in the original, amen. But the translator supplied the word unknown, which is the same meaning but in more modern terms.
Yes.
That's the thing.
So.
All right. The word cloven tongues means dividing asunder, or speak in such manner that at the same time you speak, it goes to people of different languages.
Yes. So.
Cloven tongues. A cloven hoof means a hoof that's divided.
Yes.
Cloven tongues would mean to speak in such a manner by the Spirit that the Holy Ghost causes more than one national language to hear at the same time from the same one speaker. Cloven tongues. Other tongues has reference to any language other than your own language.
Yes, Lord.
The language now, that's what other tongue means. No mystery to it. That's what it's talking about.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And just the word tongues mean language.
Yes.
The word tongue means language. Speech, a dialect.
Yes.
When it says speaking tongues, it means speaking languages. All right. Whether it is one language, another language. Now, it's very possible that I might touch a little upon the thought of unknown tongues, cloven tongues, other tongues, and tongues while I'm speaking to you. Amen. So I wanted you to get an idea of what I'm talking about. If I mention either one. He that speaketh in tongues, that means one who speaks languages. Amen. Well, it's just two. One other than your own, a minute.
Yes.
That's tongues.
Yes.
Cloven tongues would have reference to one person speaking, maybe don't even know the language, but the Holy Ghost will anoint his voice, that it goes to people of two or more different languages, foreign tongues. Other tongues simply means you speak a tongue other than your native tongue, and it's given to you by the Holy Ghost. That's when it's a gift. Now, most of the things that God gives people as a gift, many of them can be acquired through learning. But the gift of tongues has not reference. The one who went to school and majored in Spanish and French, it has reference to one who doesn't know it and may not have the ability to learn it in school. But they prayed until God gave it to them. So that's the gift of tongues. Now he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. That man, he that speaks, keep in mind what I said, the language he normally speaks is a language that's foreign to the church or congregation where he's worshiping.
Yes, so.
When he speaks, he's not talking to that congregation. His word goes to God because they don't understand it.
No.
Now that's what this text is talking about.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Notice a little further. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort.
Yes, Lord.
If you read this one chapter alone, not if you didn't even read the other scriptures I gave, and carefully studied, you'll notice the letter that the apostle wrote to the church at Corinth. He was chastising the people for speaking so folks couldn't understand it. Exhorting them to not speak unless they speak so it can be understood.
Amen.
That's the teaching. We're living in an age now when there are many people honestly thinks, that in order to receive the Holy Ghost, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire, they believe you'd have to speak in a tongue that no one else knows than you either. That feel sure that that's the Spirit of the Lord. Because I didn't do it myself, because a power got a hold of me. And I spoke that way. But Paul rebuked that and condemned them for speaking that which couldn't be understood. And exhorted them that what you say in the church must be understood. And if there's no one that interprets, he's silent. Now, note the fact. I believe I'll explain what prophecy means right at this point, because I might use it later. He that speaketh, but he that prophesieth, speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort. The word prophet means he who speaks for God to men under divine anointing and divine inspiration. That's a prophet. A man who speaks to men for the Lord. And he speaks under divine inspiration. He's anointed the message given him for God to speak. That's a prophet. And the word prophet or prophesy has broad terms. It means one who explains and interprets and makes known the truth of the Bible, that foretells future events and that preach. It actually means that. And that's not all it means. The word prophecy would mean, as I foresaid, notice the way I'm bringing it out just now, one who speaks to men for the Lord under divine anointing. In that sense, if one gets saved or sanctified just now, stand on their feet and declare that I'm sanctified. And as they begin to speak, the Lord anoints them, give them anointing to exhort. See what I mean? By Holy Ghost anointing. Maybe it's about 3 or 4 words or 5 or 6 minutes. They exhort a little while. That exhortation is prophecy. That's a few words of prophecy. So bear in mind, in that sense, most all sanctified people may utter a few words of prophecy. In that testimony.
Amen.
They were just testifying for God and didn't know what they were going to say when they got up.
Yes.
But the Spirit of the Lord anointed them.
Amen.
And they uttered a few words of exhortation.
Yes, Lord.
The prophet speaks unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Amen.
That's a few words of prophecy. All right? Then we see what the profit is. Is now called a prophet. The same man that spoke for God to men on the divine anointing was called a seer. In later years in the Old Testament, before the New Testament came, we called him a prophet. The same holds good today. He who speaks for God on the divine inspiration of the anointing now, that before time was called a prophet, is now commonly called a preacher. Because that's his normal work, he do all the time. Again, there are some people whom God imparts to them some special gift to predict future events, things to come. That's a little part of the prophecy. Now then, notice he said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesied, speak words on the inspiration, edifies the church. Alright, I would that you all speak with tongues, languages if you please, but rather that you prophesy. For great is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. That's the only way it would be alright, if he interpret those tongues, so other folks can hear. Alright, that the church may receive edifying. Now brother, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, that means languages, what shall I profit you, except I speak by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine?
Amen.
Now then, note the fact that the emphasis is placed on making folks understand all the way through.
Amen.
All right? Now we notice something else. We're coming down to verse 13 for thought just now.
Amen.
Verse 12. For as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Have that thought in mind. Not just talking, but somebody hear it.
Amen.
Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that's a foreign language, he worships in this congregation. And the language he speaks is foreign language.
Yes.
That's what it means.
Yes.
Then pray that he may interpret. So others can do it, understand it. But if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. That means I could pray in the spirit like everybody else. But my understanding is not yielding fruit to others. They don't understand it. All right? So I'll pray with the spirit and sing with the spirit and with the understanding. Now verse 16. Else when thou bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing and understanding not? Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord.
What thou said. You give thanks well, but the other not edifying. But notice he finally said, I thank my God.
Praise the Lord.
I speak with tongues more than y'all.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord.
But yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, by my voice. Others may have understanding. Than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue.
Amen.
His meaning is this. If I speak 10,000 words in a foreign language, it'd be better to speak five words of prophecy, or anointing, in your language.
That's right.
It'd be better to do that in the church.
Amen.
All right. Now then,
amen.
I want you to notice one more thing. Then I believe I can explain to you what we're driving at. Verse 24. But if all prophesy. No, I want to start a little before that. Verse 23. If therefore the whole church come together into one place, just like we are here right now, you know.
Yeah.
And all speak with tongues. And there come in those that are unlearned, are unbelievers. Will they not say that you're mad?
Oh, Lord. Yeah,
that means out of your mind, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Now notice 24. But if all prophesy, I mean if everyone testify, I speak words in the language of the hearers, anointed with the Spirit. If all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not. I want to learn. He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus the secrets of his heart made manifest. So falling down on his face and worship God, report that God is in your truth. That's the difference in speaking in tongues. All right. How is it then that brethren, talking about Corinth now, when you come together, every one of you hath a song, his own, you know, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, an interpretation, that all be done and edified. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three. Amen. Now. Now you can see why I said if the whole congregation gets to speaking in tongues, they'd think they're mad, wouldn't they? He restricted it to two, and at the most three. That's all to speak in one service. And that by course, it says. Let the other interpret. And let one interpret. Now the only time you said to speak in tongues in a public assembly is to let it be two at the most three. But never the whole thing speaking at once. But two at the most three. And while they speak, let there be interpreted to the congregation. When the next one speaks, interpret it. That's by course. There's an interpreter that. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Note the fact that if there isn't one that interprets his message or testimony, he's required to keep silence in the church. He's free to talk to God. He's free to pray and get a blessing to his own soul. But if speaking to the assembly said him to keep silence, amen, unless there is an interpreter there. Then not more than two or three in the same one service, and they not all at once, but one after the other. Now I believe we've got that touched on a little. In the second chapter of Acts, someone turned to it, and I want you to notice the reading, beginning with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost
was fully come,
there were all with one accord
in one place.
In one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. As of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house.
That sound filled all the house.
Where they were sitting.
Yes.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. Like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues.
Now pause for a minute. I want you to read some more. Did you notice there appeared cloven tongues?
Yes.
Like as a fire. And then the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they all begin to speak with other tongues.
Amen
now.
Yes, Lord.
Now read on a little further and see if it bring language in.
As the Spirit gave them utterance.
And there were dwelling in Jerusalem.
Jews devout men. Out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad. The multitude came together.
They were confounded.
Because every man heard them speak.
In his own language.
And they were all amazed.
Now here is what I want you to understand. Cloven tongues, other tongues, and other languages.
Amen.
Now tongue means language.
Yes.
On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came and sat upon them, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire. And note the fact, they began to speak with other tongues. That means other than their own, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And finally said,
we heard them speak in our own language, our tongue, wherein we were born. Now it says there were devout men there out of every nation under heaven. Notice how many folks now. Every nation under heaven was right there at that time. And they spake in such a way that every nationality understood them in his own tongue or language wherein he was born. That means they spake in such a manner by the Holy Ghost that every nationality and every tongue could understand them. In the fourth chapter of Acts, about verse 13, you'll find the principal apostles were known to be unlearned men. And the men of the city was puzzled as to how these men acquired such power, knowing they were unlearned men. They were not men. If that had been Paul, it wouldn't have been strange to speak in them different languages. But Peter and John and among them were not able to speak all those languages. But the Holy Ghost gave them the power to speak in other tongues.
Amen.
And that was the thing that amazed them. How can these men being Galileans, how to speak the Hebrew tongue, how can they so talk till men out of every nation in heaven can understand and speak in his own language? Wherein he is born. Now bear in mind, we can see what is meant by saying there are patterned and cloven tongues, and they spake with other tongues.
Amen.
In the 11th chapter of Genesis, when men spoke one language on the earth and attempted to build themselves a way to heaven and put their own name to their city and their tower, God confounded their language and scattered them abroad on the earth. So those who could understand went together, and that made people into several languages. But bear this in mind, on the day of Pentecost, they're all with one accord in one place. They were not building their way, not under their name, but they were tarrying and waiting on the Lord. Then the Holy Ghost came from heaven to establish a church on the earth. And it caused everybody there to understand the same one speaker.
Amen.
In his own native tongue.
Yes.
Now bear this in mind. In the 16th chapter, Mark, in the last five verses, Jesus mentioned some of the signs that has followed them to believe.
Yes.
And among the things he named was lay hands on the sick and they recovered. Cast out devils in the name of the Lord. Drink any deadly thing shall not hurt them. Take up serpents in his name. And speak with new tongues.
Yes.
Now, some people think, I've heard folks testify, Brother Chandler, I received the Holy Ghost and that with fire. According to the second chapter of Acts. That's the testimony.
Yes.
But let's see what happened in the second chapter of Acts. The second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Ghost came from above, and everyone that spoke, everybody that understood it, out of every nation in heaven, and it named 17 right in the chapter.
Yes.
Then it qualified it by saying, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven.
Amen.
So there's far more than 17 there, I believe.
That's right.
But every one of them understood him.
Yes.
Now that's according to Acts 2. If I, you, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts, the second chapter, it means when you testified, if there had been 10 different nationalities there, they all understood you. That would be according to Acts 2. But this is where the mistake comes. At this time, I believe I'll give you a little subject now. We're a long ways without one, didn't we? The subject will be this. Is speaking in tongues the only evidence that one has received the Holy Ghost? That's the subject. Now, that question, what are we talking about? All right. Now, the first time the Holy Ghost came to earth, never been there before, officially like that, to set up his reign. And the first time he came, when he come in like a rushing mighty wind,
He started folks to speaking in other folks' language.
Yes.
Now somebody said, Brother Channel, that settles it.
Oh, Lord.
That ought to surely establish it. Because that's the first thing it is. But listen, in the 19th chapter of Acts, when their Paul laid hands on him and they received the Holy Ghost, they spake with tongues. And sometimes they spake with tongues and prophesied. All right? In the 10th chapter of Acts, down at Cornelius' house, while Peter was still preaching them, they received the Holy Ghost. They spake with tongues. But listen here. That's three times, isn't it? But we find also in the 4th chapter of Acts, it mentions 5,000 or more that are assembled there. And they prayed so, if you read all the way to the 32nd verse, they prayed so there until the place was shaken in an earthquake while they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But it said nothing about tongues.
No, right.
5,000 of them.
Yes.
And also in the 8th chapter of Acts, when Peter and John were down Samaria, laid his hands upon the believers and prayed for them, they received the Holy Ghost. It's so marvelous till the sorcerer Simon wanted to buy the power to do it.
Yes.
It must be the marvelous thing.
Yes.
But it said nothing about tongues.
No.
Now you say, tell me then why that the first thing the Holy Ghost done, having to speak so everybody understand it in a different language.
Yes.
I will tell you exactly why.
Yes.
It mentions in this last five verses of the 16th chapter of Mark, these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
They'll cast out devils.
Yes.
The drinking the devil is going to hurt them.
Oh, yes.
Take up serpents in my name. All of those things. But here's what I want you to see. When the Holy Ghost first comes on the day of Pentecost, there are representatives of every nation on earth present.
Yes, Lord.
And the first gift needed was the gift of tongues.
That's right.
So but it caused them to speak with tongues.
Amen.
But just immediately following that,
yes,
the gift of healing was manifest.
Amen.
So marvelous that as Peter walked around us, a shadow passed from the healing.
Right.
Healing followed that.
Yeah.
It all was right close together. But the first thing you need to do is talk to them.
Yeah.
Give them the message.
Right.
And as they believe, you followed it up.
Amen.
With salvation, healing, and other blessings.
Amen.
That's why tongues are needed.
Yeah.
And wherever the Holy Ghost comes,
yeah,
if at that time and place, at the different nationalities there, he had the right to call them speaking tongues,
yes,
for our benefit. That's why the first thing the Holy Ghost does when it come into the heart was to give them power,
yes,
to so speak that men of every nation could understand them.
Amen.
But now I'm going to explain to you more thoroughly what happened there. They were not speaking any certain man's language.
Oh,
Peter, the chief speaker, was an unlearned man.
Oh, Lord.
Oh yes, he was. A fisherman.
Yeah.
And he was a chief speaker.
Yeah.
But here's what happened. As he spake,
yeah,
the Holy Ghost carried his voice to everybody present.
Yeah.
We'll use the illustration. Suppose the people on this seat speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Over here they talk French.
Yeah.
Over here Italian. Back there German.
Yeah.
Over there Japanese.
Yeah.
It means the Holy Ghost would carry my voice to these folks in their language.
Yes.
And my voice would go to these folks in their language.
Yes.
Everybody would think I'm speaking their own language.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Yes.
On the day of Pentecost, if it had been a man like Paul, been nothing strange.
No.
But there were fishermen up there,
yes,
talking to me.
Praise the Lord.
I understand him in my language.
Yes.
And this man understand it.
Yes.
That's what happened on Acts 2.
Yes.
Why did it happen? Because the people are there.
Yes.
I want you to understand that God, when he gives the Holy Ghost,
yes,
Holy Ghost will never cause you to talk to people in your own language in a language they don't understand.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost don't cause that.
Yes.
But let the Holy Ghost, if you didn't speak that language,
yes,
if you cried to God,
lay
on your face and fast,
yes,
he'd give you their tongue.
Right.
If he sent you and stationed you among them, and said, don't preach them the gospel.
Amen.
You couldn't talk to them. If you tarried and cried to God, He'd give the language of that people. So you can talk to them. That's what the gift of tongues is. And endowment of the Holy Ghost to speak to people in their own language. But there's a mistake made in the mind of many about the unknown tongue. And I said a while ago that some people think that unknown tongue means a language that no man on the earth understands. That's what they think it means. But the unknown tongue means a foreign language that the audience of the church you're with don't understand. It means a foreign language. And the cloven tongues mean a tongue that's dividing asunder into several. Other tongues are the language other than your own. And when we use the word speaking in tongues, we mean speaking in languages. And God, because tongues is a gift in the church. It right along like healing. Suppose you'd say, any man that's praying to me, fill the Holy Ghost. You haven't received it until I have the evidence of praying for the sick and to be healed. I have the evidence of casting out devils. I have the evidence of drinking deadly poison and didn't bite you. I have the evidence of picking up a serpent and did not bite you. Now that in me just doesn't make sense. Because those are gifts and marvelous things God do. And it does it when it's necessary. It gives tongues when and where tongues are needed. Gives power of miracles when and where that's needed. Now I believe it's in the latter part of the 27th chapter of Acts when the Apostle Paul in a shipwreck was cast into a certain island. God had promised him after much fasting and prayer he'd give him everybody on the ship. 276 people.
Amen.
And the ship was torn to pieces. And he was cold and wet. And he was making a fire to warm himself. And a piper came out of the sticks he put on the fire and fastened on his hand. He didn't tempt God by picking up the snake to show somebody, I received the Holy Ghost. But the snake fastened on his hand. He just shook him in the fire and suffered no harm. After a while, they thought maybe it was a god or something. That's what God means. And take up serpent. By chance, you got in touch with the serpent, God will protect you. By chance, someone tried to destroy you. By poison, he'll see you through that. And the same way with tongues. It does not mean everybody believes will have to speak in tongues. It means among those believe, these signs follow that body believers. That he, some among them, can speak in tongues, even the language of other people.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
The
thought is this. Is speaking in tongues the only evidence that one has received the Holy Ghost? I believe I've proved it in already. If you heard everything I said to you, the scriptures I gave. Now, tongues is a gift. It's mentioned in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That's really going to give that scripture. We might say but a very little about it. It means the gift of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Amen. And even mentions apostles, prophets, evangelists. Several gifts is mentioned in that chapter. So when you read that, after hearing what we have to say, I think that'll bring out a thought too. Now here is what I believe I should do at this point. I believe I should give a little thought about spirits. Some people think that any spirit, anything that's not of myself is God. I've heard folks say, well, Brother Chandler, well, I know that wasn't of myself. I heard a person say one time, I sat down and my legs just hollow and crossed themselves. Brother, you know that must have been God. It could have been the devil, these could have been God.
Yes, right.
And I've known several things people say, I know it wasn't of myself. That's all the more dangerous. If it wasn't of yourself, was of God. There's two great powers. The power of God and the power of Satan. Now in the 16th chapter of Acts, you'll find that the apostle Paul and his companion were in that silence with him, I believe.
Yes.
Were preaching the gospel in a certain place, Macedonia possibly. And there's a young woman that is a soothsayer with a familiar spirit.
Yeah.
That familiar spirit means the spirit of the devil that imitates the spirit of God.
Yeah.
That's what it means. That plays God.
Yeah.
Not just a lying, stealing spirit, a spirit that pretends it is God.
Yeah.
Claims it's God.
Yeah.
And plays God to you.
Yeah.
and come on people, and they shouting and think it's God. That's a familiar spirit. Now this girl is possessed with a familiar spirit. And some folks say, if it wasn't of God, it couldn't do anything. Yes, it can. They can do things with you if you submit to them. If you submit yourself in the hands of one possessed with a familiar spirit, they can work with you. Just like when you submit yourself in the hands of people of God, they're a blessing to you. Now this familiar spirit caused this girl to bring much gain to her masters, making them wealthy by soothsaying. Bring it down to everyday language, fortune telling, hand reading. All right. And she is effective enough that I...